Hey, this is Jay.
And Aaron.
And Richard.
And we're the VCR Kids. We watch movies from our childhood and we see if they still hold up. All right, we've been teasing for a little while now that we have a big announcement to make. But today is going to be the day that we finally make it, because we finally caught up with our intro recordings. So today is the start of our Spooktober episodes, and it's also going to be our last Spooktober, because we're going to take this to 200 episodes, and then we are going to retire the VCR Kids. Right now, this is episode 172, so you guys got some time. Don't worry, it's not going to happen immediately. But as you may have noticed, our release schedule has gotten a little bit more sporadic. We've been having a lot of life stuff coming up. Richard's married now, which is super exciting. We've had like some job promotions and changes and just some other stuff that we're not ready to announce yet. But yeah, we are going to go ahead and wrap up the VCR Kids after 200, because we're getting a little bit tired of watching kids' movies all the time. I don't know about you.
It's just a grueling pace to do one every week. And I know that's like, are you kidding? But no, it can be tricky.
Yeah, and I know I've told you all this, but I think I'm approaching, you know, I've seen all the movies that I really wanted to see from my childhood. I've exhausted my little bucket of movies, so...
This will be kind of our chance to be like, to go back and finally do the ones that we've kind of have been sitting on the back burner for a long time or that we've been thinking about. So if you guys have suggestions, let us know. If you have things that are like, these guys need to do this movie before they end, we want to hear what you think, because we want to go out with a bang and hopefully watch some good ones and some on-brand stuff. So that's one thing. The other thing is, hey, it's October, and we're continuing our tradition of watching scary movies from our childhood. And this week, we randomized the order, and Richard is starting off. So Richard, would you like to introduce our movie this week?
Yeah, so with that in mind, you know, as getting to 200, I was like, okay, what are the ones I really want to see? And with Halloween, I remember loving this movie. I Know What You Did Last Summer, came out in 97. I'm reading up about it right now. I forgot, you know, this has a lot to do with like urban legends. There was a lot of stuff during that time, like stories you would tell, like spooky stories. This was like a huge cast at the time, right? You got like Jennifer Love Hewitt, Sarah Michelle Gellar,
didn't Ryan, have like Freddie Prinze Jr. in it or something?
Prince, yeah. How do you say his last name? Ryan Philippe.
Philippe. Yeah, that's like an all-star lineup right there of 90s movies.
Yeah. So it made a boatload of money. I think it was supposed to be, I don't know where they actually shot this, but I think it was supposed to be in North Carolina, which also was like, you know, as a young kid, was like really special for me. But I remember really liking this, enjoying it. So Did y'all see this one?
I never did, but I like knew of it. You know, everyone would talk about it. They'd reference it in like movies and stuff a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the movie itself, I think, is referential. This was like based off of a book that was written many decades ago. But Scream had just come out, and that was another like self-referential, like horror movie that knows about horror movies kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that must have been pretty popular at the time, but I'm wondering how scary it really is. I think it's just more of a slasher film at the end of the day, so
it's probably not scary.
No, probably.
I've also never seen this one, but I remember very vividly when it came out and kind of like all the, because this was, I guess people still do this to some degree, but this was like in the era when movies were on billboards and stuff like that when they were coming out, right?
Right.
Definitely remember like driving down 85 with my family and seeing billboards for this. And like, is this, so I kind of know a little bit about it, I think, just from like, because when we were all kids, like if one kid saw a scary movie that the others weren't allowed to watch, they would like tell them all about it, right? So I, is this the one that there's like some, like the hook hand guy, or is that something completely different?
I believe they, I remember that. I, now of course, like I said, there's, there were a lot of movies around this time where it mentions like urban legends and stuff. So I might be confusing that with another one of those movies, but I believe there was a hook here. Like a group did something terrible and covered it up. And then the next summer it like all comes to like, you know, like they all get knocked off. Yeah. They all get knocked off one by one because of this thing they did. And, yeah, I'm excited. I'm actually, the more I talk about it and think about it, because I think I just haven't seen too many horror movies recently, so I'm thrilled.
Well, yeah, Renee is not a fan of horror movies, as we've established before. Are you going to make her watch this one?
I don't think, not this one. It maybe some of the other ones that we watch for this Halloween, maybe, but not this one. It's too much of a slasher film for her. It's too far away from Bachelor in Paradise to really...
maybe when we end the VCR kids, then Aaron and Renee can do a spinoff Bachelor podcast.
There already are a lot of them, so.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, our fans want to hear from you.
I don't know if our fans want to listen to that, but it's okay.
One thing I mentioned, Scream, the guy who wrote this screenplay, Kevin Williamson, did the screenplay for Scream. So there's a connection there. It doesn't look like this director did too much either before or after this movie. But it, $17 million budget, made 125 back. So, you know,
Really surprised that this is the Freddie Prinze Jr. Halloween movie we ended up going with.
The Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island one is so bad. It's just bad. Like everybody...
It's just a regular Scooby-Doo, like the first Scooby-Doo movie.
That is it.
It's just called Scooby-Doo. It's not called Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island.
No, I thought it... It's the one where they go to like the theme park?
Maybe. I don't know. Well, the... Anyway.
Yeah.
It's like a voodoo-themed theme park?
I didn't really watch any Scooby-Doo beyond the original whatever, 1970s or whatever it was. I do love how the sequel to this movie was called I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. Yeah.
Stupid.
That's pretty bad.
God, I love it. Man, we're not going to be able to watch that. We need to keep it going for another year, guys. We changed our mind 300. Just kidding. I think Aaron will like flip the table over if we...
Yeah.
No.
All right, well... I'm excited. I know, Richard, you said you're getting more and more excited. This is a movie that's always kind of been in my periphery, I feel like, around Halloween. I just never have seen it. So I'm pretty pumped to get into it and kind of see what I've been missing. I'm expecting it to be kind of hokey, right? Like,
oh yeah.
Is that fair?
It's definitely gonna be hokey.
Right. Yes, yes. The more I think about it, it's a hook, and he wears like a rain slicker, yellow.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
one I of think those. They even spoofed that in SpongeBob. Like, to be honest, the hash slinging slasher.
Oh yeah.
So.
Well, and it's got Aaron. It's got like one of your favorite actresses of all time in it, who we've already seen recently in a VCR Kids movie.
Who?
Sarah Michelle Gellar. Is it Geller or Jeller?
Geller. She's not my favorite, but...
Hey, it's G-E, all right? It makes sense that it could be Jeller.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're right, Jay. Could be.
If G is next to I, E, or Y, it goes J, like in gym.
It's also got Johnny Galecki, who I feel... Didn't we see him in a movie recently? Oh, yeah. He was in National Lampoon's Christmas. The guy from Big Bang Theory.
Oh, yeah.
He played, like, Rusty in National Lampoon's Christmas.
Yeah.
So he's in this one, apparently, as well.
I forever associate him with Christmas Vacation. Seeing him as a just grown man is kind of weird. I guess I should see more of his stuff. More recent stuff.
No, you're probably fine.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm really not a Big Bang Theory fan. And I know it's like one of those things that like people like to make fun of. But it's also like one of the most popular TV shows of all time. I just really don't enjoy watching it. That was one of those things where like in Korea, it would be like constantly playing on like the one English channel. So like when I first moved there, it was like always Big Bang Theory or CSI episodes. So I watched a lot of it and it was not fun.
I'd probably watch CSI.
Well, I'm saying that this channel played both Big Bang Theory and CSI.
I think
you had to choose.
Yeah, I think the only episode I ever saw in my life of Big Bang Theory was in Korea, but while traveling, right? Like on vacation in Korea, just turning on the TV. So,
yeah.
It was all right. It was exactly what I thought it would be. I'm good.
Can't wait to see him die in this movie. Any other thoughts before we start watching I Know What You Did Last Summer?
Yeah. I'm ready to be spooked out. I'm ready. Let's do it.
Spooked?
Yeah.
Are you spoopy, Aaron?
Are you not?
Spoopy.
Are you
not, beware the hash slinging slasher.
All right. We're going to go watch I Know What You Did Last Summer, and we'll talk to you in a minute. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, we are finished watching I Know What You Did Last Summer. Unfortunately, Erin is not able to join us right now. She is very under the weather. But you got me and Richard here. So, Richard, what did you think about I Know What You Did Last Summer?
So I remembered a lot more from this movie than I thought. I will make a correction. It was not a yellow raincoat. So apologies. Right. I'm sure the people listening.
I think that might've been Aaron that said that. I don't know. Oh. Shoot.
Well, I think I misremembered that. Obviously it's like a fisherman's slicker or something.
Yeah.
Which
apparently everyone in this town has, because it's like a fishing town.
Right. Yeah. When they're going through that parade later in the movie, it's like every 10th person had a slicker on. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
The thing that I remembered the most was like all the killings, right? Yeah. I remembered that vividly, the fireworks and everything. I knew that, you know, all that was coming up. I didn't remember that. We didn't mention this during the intro, I believe. Anne Hesh, she's in this movie as Missy, the sister.
Right.
And of course she's been in a lot of stuff. No, I don't know. This is kind of like a guilty pleasure kind of movie.
Yeah. So it being my first experience watching it, I did enjoy it. I mean, like, it's definitely kind of, you can tell it's written by the same guy who did Scream. Like, it's not as referential to its like self-referential as Scream is.
Right.
Like they don't have a movie store character who's narrating everything that happens in horror movies.
Right.
But it definitely does. It has the same kind of campiness and the same slasher vibe. There are several things with this movie that I have, just big picture wise, a real problem with. But but I mean, we can kind of go through like what happens and
Well, it starts July 4th, and they're, well, I don't know how far back you want to start with this. This guy, it starts kind of
ominously.
Ominous, yeah. The guy's on the cliff, and he is obviously sad. But then, I mean, the main part of the story is it's, I guess, high school graduation, right? And they also had the pageant. What's her name?
This is where we meet the four main characters. We have the pageant. We have, I don't remember any of the characters' names. You have, Sarah Michelle Gellar is the, beauty queen.
Helen and Shivers. God, what a name.
Shiver me timbers.
You got a Jennifer Love Hewitt,
yeah.
Freddie Prinze Jr., who, wow, I have a few things to say about his acting performance, and that might be one of the things you had an issue with.
Oh no, it wasn't as much with him. My issue was acting wise was Ryan Phillippe or Philippi or however you pronounce it. I don't know. I've only seen him in two movies now, both of them for the VCR kids. I don't know how he kept getting jobs.
I mean, it was that sweet bod of his, man. He
must be. He was so over the top. Like, oh my God, it was ridiculous.
Yes. So that it's, I think, high school graduation.
Yeah, we get to see a bunch of like 29-year-olds graduate high school.
Yeah, super fun, super fun. Helen or Sarah Michelle Gellar, she wins the pageant, has the little, what do they call that? The tiara? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So they're partying afterwards, then they go out on the beach, which, okay, I know I texted y'all this. I had just for our honeymoon went out to like Napa, Sonoma. There's some other parts of Northern California, but this is supposed to be based in North Carolina. And I saw those beaches and I instantly was like, that is not North Carolina beaches.
Yeah.
Well,
that's one of my big, like, this wasn't as much like a problem. I just thought it was funny. Like the only way you would know this was set in North Carolina was like, in the parade, they had a thing that said like North Carolina State Band or something like that. Aaron pointed out. So for me, it did not feel like that at all. Like I know you had mentioned that in the pre-watch. I was kind of excited about that. It's setting in a fishing town and like a coastal fishing town, which there's plenty of those in North Carolina. I know some people from some. I've been through a couple, but it felt like a Northeast, like it felt like Maine or like something like that in the Northeast to me. And I couldn't figure out why. I mean, like the Slickers is definitely part of it. I don't think it's like as like rainy in the fishing towns in North Carolina as it is in the like Pacific Northwest or in like in the Northeast, you know?
Right.
Most of the coastal towns in North Carolina that I know, people are wearing like either overalls or just like shorts and fishing shirts all the time.
Right. Yeah. There was a lot of crabs in this and other stuff. But I mean, I think this was also where Dawson's Creek, I'm looking up Southport, North Carolina right now. And yeah. Apparently a lot of stuff has been filmed there. But yeah, I mean, that first shot of the rocky ocean, like yeah. And I was like, no, that's
definitely
that's
not something that's here.
No, I was like, that's where I was just visiting on the other side of the country. And sure enough, they shot those scenes in Sonoma County. So there you go.
Well, the other thing that made it really not feel like it was in the South to me, and I didn't realize why at first, but Aaron pointed it out, is that none of the people in this movie have Southern accents.
Right.
And if you've ever met anyone from a coastal town in North Carolina, except like maybe Wilmington, which is a pretty big city, they have very strong accents.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, I feel like they got the four for this movie, right? They needed that core, beautiful base. And then the rest really didn't matter, right? Like it could be anywhere. So, but they're okay. So they're drinking, they're partying, then they go out to the beach. And then they drive, and it's actually Freddie Prinze Jr. who's driving.
Because what's-his-face is just over-the-top drunk acting.
That's right.
Ryan Phillippe.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm going to keep calling him Phillippe just so when Aaron listens back to this, she'll be, like, driven crazy by it.
I love, Jay, how you're, like, overacting. I guess you know, unless we state otherwise, you could assume there's overacting in any scene we're talking about. But he's out the whatever sunroof, and they hit someone, and there's blood. They're confused. They don't know what to do. They decide because that guy pulls up, the love interest of Jennifer Love Hewitt, the guy that we were talking about,
Galecki or something like that, right?
Right. So already you have some suspicion, right? This movie, I don't know, for what it is, it does an okay job with going like, oh, who's the killer? Who's the person? I mean, it's okay. So he's the first kind of suspect, right? Because he does, maybe he saw more than the movie showed, right?
Yeah. So. And he does really dislike Freddie Prinze Jr. and like the whole group that Julie hangs out with.
Right. Of course, then he's like the first one to be killed. So, I mean, you learn pretty quickly in the movie that he is not the not individual. But yeah, so then what do? They dump the body, but then he's alive. The guy that they thought they had killed, he's actually alive. And
they see his eyes open up. So here's one of you hit on a couple things that are kind of my big problems with. One of them is the amount of times it changes who you think the killer is, which I don't have a problem with. Like, I love a good mystery, and I love like, it's not who we thought it is, and then blah, 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 blah. What I don't like about the way they handled this, and I mean, we'll get more into it probably, but no one really had a viable, like the people they were suspecting didn't really have like a viable reason to do it, right? Like, I mean, even Freddie Prinze Jr. comes up as one of them. It's like, because he wasn't in the movie for a while. It's like, why would he be doing, like, why would, do you think it would be him? There's no reason to suspect
him. Right. Other than it being a surprise in the movie, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's, there's no motive. Yeah.
The other thing that really, really bugged me about it was they figure out that, like, the guy that they dumped is this guy who is in their graduating class, I guess, or like maybe a year before them or something.
Right.
And he had, I guess, his like girlfriend or something had died or committed suicide or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so he, on July 4th or 5th, was found in the ocean, like his body was. So they think that it's him.
Right.
This guy who is like the same age as them. And we saw the body that they put into the water for way less time than they were looking at it. And you could tell this was like a middle-aged man. Like, why do they spend half of the movie down this rabbit hole that it's like, it's probably, we killed this high school kid when you carried him, like you picked him up and you saw him.
Right. I think Barry had one comment, like, well, his face was covered in blood, or like it was all over the pavement. Like, there was one comment, but like, you're right. As you're watching this is a grown man, right? Yeah,
you would tell. I mean, his face may be covered in blood, but like, you know, skin elasticity and like sunspots, I'm sure. Like, that really bugged me the whole time when they were like going to the sister's house. Aunt Hesh, you were talking about, like, they went to her house because that was the kid who we find out later committed suicide, or maybe he didn't. I don't think we really solved that.
Well, I think he was murdered because his suicide note was the killer's handwriting.
Oh, right. Okay.
So yeah, I think he was actually murdered because the dad of the girlfriend blamed him for her death.
Right.
So I still can't get over how old he looks now. And when you said that, I was like, of course, just because you cover someone's face in blood a little bit, like, he's still, oh, that's still an old guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That was the biggest thing for me that kind of bothered me. Like, they spend a good chunk of the movie kind of investigating the guy who is like their classmate or whatever. And the whole time I was like, why are we even entertaining this? It doesn't
right. So they dump the body. They think, okay, I guess Barry's the only one who doesn't, who knew that the guy wasn't completely dead, right? Because he had jumped in the water and saw his eyes open.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Because he pulled the tiara down.
Right. So yeah, got to get that. So a year later, yeah, after you murder someone, you have to collect those kind of things before you leave. So it's a year later, and what's her name? Jennifer Love Hewitt is not doing well.
Right? Yeah, you can tell because her hair is a lot greasier.
Yeah, everyone was like, you look like crap. And I'm like, well, she doesn't look that bad, you know? Like, I don't know.
Not at all.
So she returns back home. They all kind of reconvene in their own way. Well, one's already there, right? Sarah Michelle Gellar, she doesn't, you know, she wants to be an actress or whatever and go up to New York. That didn't work out very quickly. What did Barry do? He was supposed to be a quarterback. Did that not work out as well as he thought it would? Or
my guess, so they like kind of mentioned a little bit in the passing comments. I think he was like on summer break. Like, I think he was playing for a college and was on summer break. But I mean, they show one shot of his house and his parents' house, and it's like, it's so, oh man, this town, this fictional town. They have this like tiny little main street where they have parades with huge fish floats, and then they have this podunk, like True Detective level backwoods house that the girl lives in, right. And then a few like suburby houses, and then this mansion that right. Barry's family lives in.
Well, one thing I noticed, this is a very small thing. Okay, so when they're talking about the guy that they had accidentally killed, or thought they did, it's very secretive, right? They're always like, oh, we need to be secluded. The only time that doesn't happen is at Barry's house. You can see people walking in the background pretty close. It's like a little hidden message of like, rich people, I guess you can just discuss your transgressions out in the open or something. Because they're all rich. They're fine. You know, I don't know. So I did notice
the biggest that problem thing. That Barry had was that there was a dent in his car.
Right. Oh, he was
from
so
the
upset.
Body.
Yeah. He was.
All right, let's bury this. We'll dump this body. My car is dented.
So they start. Who gets the first letter? I think it's Jennifer Love Hewitt might get the first letter. So they start getting contacted by this individual that knows well. That, you know, knows what they did.
Says the thing.
Summer. Yes.
Says the title.
I'm trying to remember. At this point, it becomes somewhat of a blur, like the progression of events. It just kind of builds up, right? Some people die. Mm-hmm. We talked about the one buddy who dies really early.
Yeah.
That was...
JLH goes and tries to get the band back together. And
right.
Yeah. And then little Jimmy Galecki... He's out first. They go talk to him right away. I guess, does she talk to him or does... No, Barry talks to him because he threatens him.
Right.
And he's like, I know this is you. I know you sent these notes. I'm going to beat your ass if you do it again. And then the next scene, he gets a spike through the chin and then goes to swim with the lobsters.
Oh, my God. As a horror fan, if you're talking about the killings, right? Not bad. Like, there's a lot of hook action, obviously.
And I will say it's not like too gory, right? Like, it's not like gore like Saw or something like that, where it just shows you everything.
Right.
Like, you can tell, like, he swings up like he's gonna hook him in the chin, but you don't actually see it like going into his chin or anything, which is good for me. I don't think. The right. older I get, the more painful it gets to watch people get hurt.
Right. So it goes. I mean, you know, Barry gets hit by his own car. Helen Shivers has her hair cut off, or a lot of it cut off. She doesn't really go too. Something that's
it's barely a haircut.
Right. Yeah. She does. She's all right with this. One of my issues with this movie, to be honest, you had a couple of issues. I don't like how the killer kills people like that one guy who was crushing, like Max, right? Galecki. I don't like how these peripheral people are also killed.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I know there's really, like, how can I be upset about a morality in like this, a slasher, like horror film?
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just felt a little cheap. Like, they wanted more killings in the movie, but they couldn't kill off the top four quickly, right? So they needed some other bodies, some other, you know, killings.
And we don't even, I mean, he wouldn't have, I mean, maybe he would have known that Max was there, possibly, but I think we're to understand he was like unconscious. Like he wouldn't have remembered that guy coming, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, it kind of makes sense on one hand, like if he would have known that, and it helps with the misleading a little bit, but it just really is totally random. He just wants to get that hook and Max was in the way.
Right. That's true. And Freddie Prinze, nothing really happens with him, which is why you have the suspicion that he might be the killer.
He's really not in a whole lot of the movie compared to the other three.
Right, which is great. I was not a big fan of his in this movie, at least. I think later on, was he in She's Got Game or something?
I don't know. She's all that.
She's all that. Oh, wait. Yeah, Scooby-Doo. maybe it never got better. But anyways.
Maybe I need to change my movie pick. I really thought Aaron was going to pick that one.
Well, so all this stuff happens. It kind of builds, right? There's the body, Max's body in her trunk, which, by the way.
Covered in crabs.
What a cleaning job.
Yeah.
Like, how do you not, like, that's
in like 5 minutes.
Right. How does that trunk not at least give a faint whiff of crap? Right. How do you clean it that well? But anyways, so he's leaving little signs here and there. And then it culminates in July 4th. Was there anything else I missed between? I mean, it just kind of like little thing here, little thing there, but it's really just building towards that climax, right?
Yeah, they go and they meet the sister of the guy,
right.
Who they uncover the story that like he was someone in their class, his girlfriend died or he caused her to die or something like that. And he was very depressed and he was thinking of committing suicide. But then, I mean, we find out later that what's his face killed him, but, yeah, so that we get that kind of whole white rabbit trail.
Right. And it's Anne Hesh. She might be the only person that has a Southern accent of any, I don't know. She at least tries to put that on Missy Egan. And like you said, it was kind of a True Detective kind of feel to it. I feel like this movie could have done a little more with how creepy that place was. Like, especially the second visit, like she has the knife and there's some like dead animals out there. But I don't know. It was like fake creepy. It was like a cheap, like a Walmart version of cheap or True Detective kind of thing.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Well, and it kind of makes us, they kind of make us think that maybe she's the killer. And...
Right. Cause the slicker is hanging up in our place. So they sprinkle a lot of little, you know, oh, could it be this person, that person kind of thing. But then it's July 4th and there's the parade and Barry has to be Sarah Michelle Gellar's bodyguard this day. So he's riding on the float and then goes to the pageant with her, which was really stupid, that setup that they decided, right?
Yeah. Like, let me go up in a completely isolated spot that no one can see. And when I know there's a killer out to get me.
Right. I was just thinking while I was watching that, I was like, he should be in the front row.
He should be in the middle of the audience or, where there's people all around it.
Well, he should be somewhere also where he could do something if she was attacked. Like, the worst place is to be in the balcony. So I questionable decision on their part. It did look good visually, right? I remember that being very striking. And then of course her death, I think might be the most iconic. Oh, we didn't even mention.
She sees him get attacked, and then she screams from the stage and tries to run up to him, and she's like, "Help him! Help him! Help him!" And everyone in the audience gets up and like stops her.
like holds her.
Actually goes to see what's going on. They're like, "Nope, don't." pulling her back. Like clearly something is wrong. And they're like, the show must go on. We got to see this beauty pageant.
Well, I thought that was my favorite part of this whole movie is that pageant MC, who's a ridiculous human being. Before she leaves, he's like, I'm sorry. I'm going to need that tiara, right? Like, I'm going to need the crown. Like, that was great. But in real life, wouldn't you go, oh my God, like, let's investigate, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's see what's going on. But anyways, they stop her. By the time they get up there, there's so many disappearing bodies in this movie. It's a drinking game. Just take a shot every time a body disappears in this movie.
Well, you know, maybe they're setting it up for, like, we don't actually see either the two of them die. You know, maybe they're setting it up for
the sequel, which
they do tease at the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They really tease it. So she dies because she's trying to, well, she's running away, right? First, the cop is going to take her home.
Mm-hmm.
And the cop also might have a southern accent. There's a few.
Yeah, and he's not a good cop.
No, he is questionable cop. But he's taking her home and stops in the middle of taking her home because this guy who has a slicker on, obviously, because half the town has a slicker on, having car trouble. And that whole setup is kind of weird, right? Like the road is blocked off and he goes off on the side. This is a very, very smart killer if you believe this universe. Like every step of the way, he's really got it figured out. And then he gets kind of dumb at the end, which is actually kind of par for the course for these kind of movies. Never mind. But he kills the cop. She escapes out of the back. And then before we talk about her murder, we should have mentioned this one thing. It's a famous scene, Jay. They made fun of it, parodied it in so many movies where she's yelling like, what are you waiting for?
Oh, yeah.
Like doing the whole like arms outstretched with the shot from above. I remember that from Scary Movie quite distinctly, or one of the Scary Movies. But she's running in the alley, and then right before she gets to all these people, she gets the old hook in the tires, and that's the end of those two.
Mm-hmm.
So where's Jennifer Love Hewitt during this? I got so wrapped up in the fireworks and the... Anyways.
She was... Isn't this when she went to the house?
That's right.
The second time, and she saw that the note... Or no, she's looking something up on... She's doing some research on something, I think. And she finds out that there was something... She goes to talk to Freddie Prinze Jr. after she does all this research, right? And then she's like, wait, maybe it's you. Because she's like talking to him. She's like, it's definitely this person. And he's like, okay. And then she's like, or is it you?
Yeah, because his boat is called Billy Blue. And that was the person that Anne Heche, I guess, had a... She had a weird phrase for that.
A spring fling.
A two-minute fling. A two-minute spring fling. Yeah. So then she doesn't know what's going on. And then we finally see the real killer. The guy who is this old buddy who, you know, relatively matches the body they found at the beginning of the movie.
And he was like, oh, you're running away from this guy? Come into my boat. And he goes in and it's just like pictures and like of them all over the boat. She's like, I think there's something wrong here.
Oh yeah. And then
you're gonna die.
Yeah. And so he goes away, like he leaves. The thing that doesn't make sense to me is why he left Freddie Prinze Jr. on the dock a lot, like obviously alive.
Mm-hmm.
Like just like she ran off in the boat, like quickly just like kill him, right? And then go into the boat. Why? It doesn't make sense to leave him there, but anyways,
Well, he has to trap her in the weird underground under boat ground compartment system that has just gallons and gallons and gallons of ice.
That has to be the fakest ice I've ever seen in my life.
It's exactly what Aaron said. Looks like they filled it with diamonds.
Yeah, and what a labyrinth of a boat. Like, she's crawling through this thing for quite some time.
For, like, a normal-sized fishing boat. Like,
well, it started with it looking relatively real. Like, she would see him and then go to, the other side of the boat, and there he is again. Because it's a small... It's not a big boat. And then it just got larger and larger as the movie progressed.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, it's bizarre. So Freddie Prinze gets a like a little what do you
like call a little it? Speedboat. A
little speedboat to go I don't know, save her, and gets on there, and then the fight ensues, right, between the three. And I hate to say this, but the killer does not die.
Yeah, he loses his hand. So we know next time he'll definitely have a real hook.
Right. Oh, that was so stupid. and then a year later, she's good. She's because the police come. They're like, "Why? Is there any reason why you would think that this guy would want to have you killed?" And they're like, they both look at each other and go like, "Nah." Like, great acting. But then a year later, she's at college. She's doing well this time.
She has clean hair.
Oh, yeah. She's yeah. And
we know she showers because she's about to get in one.
Yeah. And surprise, the guy still knows, which makes sense that he still knows what they did
the
previous summer. In the summer before, too, right? It's been two summers now that he knows.
Yeah. So I still know what you did two summers ago is what it should say.
there was some jump scares or whatever they call those, throughout the movie. And the big one was at the very end where he jumps through the shower door. So
yeah. He's got very good handwriting.
He does.
For writing in steam. That's...
Oh, I thought you were about to say for a fisherman.
Well, that too. But, you know, like if you've ever, I don't know, for those of us who have written things on whiteboards before, it's definitely a lot harder to write things straight up and down.
Oh, yeah. And he's an all cap kind of guy. There's no lowercase in anything that he's doing.
Exactly. So. All cap.
Yeah. So I feel like I know what you're going to ask me next, Jay.
Yeah. Does it hold up?
I think you could do a lot worse if you liked 90s horror films. I thought Scream was a lot smarter.
Mm-hmm.
I maybe it's just because that first scene with Drew Barrymore is so good and iconic and well shot and written. And of course the rest of the movie is pretty good too. We have Wes Craven, right? As the, but like,
Matthew Lillard, it's great in it.
Oh yeah. But like this one
also in Scooby-Doo. So
that's right. Yeah. But I think this one, you're really just, I think this is a better nostalgia kick, because you have all these young, actors and actresses from this era, in a slasher film, which I think it's pretty fun. It doesn't feel like an hour and 40 minutes. I think it goes by a little quicker than that. Like it I don't know. I never looked at my watch or anything during this. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it definitely holds up. I think if you liked it when you were younger, you'll probably still like it. I think you're right that I think just Scream is better than this was, but that's not like, you know, there's always going to be a movie that's better than
right. It just so happens that, like we said in the intro, that guy also wrote, you know, that screenplay. So I feel
also just found out he also created Dawson's Creek. So
what?
Yeah. Wow. Likes North Carolina beaches.
I'll go you one further. He was born in New Bern, North Carolina. So
there we go.
That might solve the mystery there. So, but yeah, I thought this was pretty good. I'm curious, did he do anything since we're talking about him? Did he do anything after this screenplay wise? I see that
it looks like he did a lot of TV and all the Scream. Well, I guess he did a couple of the Scream sequels.
Gotcha.
Cursed.
Oh,
he didn't write Scream 3. He just is credited for characters, but it looks like he wrote 4.
Oh, he did with Josh Hartnett. He did The Faculty in 98. Mm-hmm. You remember that with the aliens and?
No.
Oh, Robert Rodriguez was the director on that one. That was.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. You know, till we get to 200, that might be a good one. Just do a Kevin Williamson trilogy there.
But yeah, also did like Vampire Diaries and the Scream TV series that they did on Netflix. And
oh, what a classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks good. Like there's another Scream that's coming out next year.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know. It looks like there's another I Know What You Did Last Summer coming out this year. Jeez. Wow. There's one that's like, it says it's 2021. Amazon original. Oh, it's a series. Interesting. I don't know if it's related at all. It just has the same title.
But I will say this to my final comments is that it just feels good to watch a horror film. This was not a bad one. I think, you know, this is very enjoyable, watchable, especially if you enjoyed it as a kid, or whenever you watched it back in the 90s. I'm sure everyone didn't watch these things at 10 years old or anything. But it just feels good. It's Halloween, you know, watching some spooky films feels great.
Well, yeah, and you're now married to a horror hater, so you've got to get them in while you can.
That's right. That's right. I feel bad. I watched this on Peacock for free, so there were advertisements. But because I was like, I like this movie, but I'm not gonna pay money for this if I don't have to. But I did watch this on my phone with headphones on. So I don't know if I can't let Renee hear or see, you know, some of the stuff.
What are you waiting for?
Turn it off, Richard.
Okay, well, any other final thoughts you have about I Know What You Did Last Summer?
No, I'm excited for, did we mention y'all's pick or is that kind of
no, but we can right now, because if you guys have any thoughts on them, you can send them our way.
Oh, that's true. I know one is Final Destination, which this movie and Final Destination just go, it's like a double feature in my mind of my of my childhood. So super excited about that one.
And then what was Aaron's pick? I don't even remember.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Interview
with the Vampire.
Yeah.
Which I think is what we're doing next, right? I
believe so.
Yeah. So yes. Interview with the Vampire next. And then Final Destination to get you right into Halloween. Hey guys, like we mentioned, we're going to be wrapping the VCR Kids up sometime this season. Well, I guess it'll land in 2022. So this is episode 172 out of 200. Let us know what you thought. If you have any thoughts about I Know What You Did Last Summer, if you send us a voice message via email or the link in the show notes, we can maybe play it on the next episode. So, yeah. Anyway, we're going to have some more fun watching some spooky movies this month, and we'll talk to you more next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Shoulder.
Cats.
Radio.
.com.